Thank you, Mark. Well, good morning, church. It's great to see you all. I'm not normally up here, so it's very different to what I'm used to, and I'm excited, and I hope you are too. And for those that are visiting this morning, like I said, my name is George, and I'm married to Jess, and we got married at the end of April. And when we got engaged back in June, one thing that when we were trying to plan the wedding was we also needed to try and find somewhere to live once we got married. And this is a kind of a great difficulty with house prices and different things that can come up that can be a real big problem. And we were looking at different properties in the area. We know we wanted to stay here, and we weren't quite sure where to look for and what to look for. It was kind of very new to us and what we kind of expected. And we saw a few properties, we went and had a look around, and there were some properties that we loved, and after speaking to the mortgage advisor, it just wasn't going to happen. The price was just too high. And we thought we need to sort out what our budget is. We need to go and see a mortgage advisor just to say, what can we do? So we went and saw a mortgage advisor, and when you go to mortgage advisor, you give all your wage slips, and you say this is our bank statements, and this is kind of this is what our job is. And he looks at it, he puts it in his computer, and he does all the estimations, and he says, guys, you've got a great deposit, but on your wages at the moment, there is no chance that you are going to get a mortgage. No chance whatsoever. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to think about possibly getting new jobs. We were devastated really, because we weren't quite sure what to do. We were in a place of, well, you feel quite discouraged coming away from those kind of meetings, and we just left it. We thought we'd leave it, we'll just continue planning the wedding. And then in February this year, Jess felt re-prompted to look on Rightmove, which is this basically website of houses. And Jess said, I found a flat in Milnhall. I just feel like we just need to just look into it. And I said, okay. And so look online at this flat, and it's perfect. It's a one bedroom ground floor flat. And we thought, well, we don't want to go look at this flat and find out we can't afford it. So we went to go see this mortgage advisor before, and we handed our wage slips to her, and she said to us, you can afford this property. If you go to this property and you like it, put an offer down. So we go to this property, we look around, it is perfect. It was very dark, but we saw the potential in it, and we put an offer down, it was accepted, and 2 days after we got back from our honeymoon, we picked up the keys to move into our flat with a mortgage. Do you know why? Because Jesus is able. Jesus is able. I want you to turn to the person on your left, and I want you to say, Jesus is able. And if you're on the end of the aisle, apologies. I want you to turn to the person on your right, and I want you to say, Jesus is able. We sing it, we say it, but do we believe it? I want us as a church to leave this building today knowing that Jesus is able to do everything in our lives. He's able when things are impossible, when things are coming against us that just don't seem that are seeming too high. I want us to have in our brains and lodge and know that Jesus is able. Jesus was an amazing man. I don't know about you, but I'd love just to hang out with him for a day, just to kind of go around with Jesus, to be one of his disciples and see the miracles he did. And even this Thursday at Alpha, we looked at who is Jesus, and I just wanted to give my life all over again to Jesus, because it's amazing. You know, the facts that are shown and just the guy who was, and it's just awesome. And when you read from Matthew to John, you just read miracle after miracle after miracle, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing. And we're going to focus on one miracle today. It's a very famous miracle, and it's when Jesus calms the storm. So if you'd like to turn to Mark 4, 35 to 41, please. We've put it up on the screen as well. This is the NLT version. I have to say, I'm not a theologian, so I'm not going to necessarily break this down like Kim or Paul does so well. But I hope this morning my prayer is that you feel encouraged And that, you know, you leave this building knowing that God is on your side and is with you. So, Mark 4, 35, 41. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said, "Waves, silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." Amen. Amen. I love this story. I think it brings a lot of hope. You know, I know there'll be some people here who will be in a season of real blessing and praise God. Amazing. There'll be people here who are kind of amongst the storm, as it were. You're in the storms of life, whether it's you know, physical health, mental health even, huge mountains that Anton was even mentioning in his prayer before we came and spoke. Could be addictions that you need breaking off your life. We always have huge storms in life, and even if we're not in the storms of life, we may know people that are in the storms of life. And I work for a Christian youth organisation called YFC, and we're constantly meeting young people who are broken, who are their parents are fighting over them in court, who are just coming from broken backgrounds and have storms in their lives. If we're not in the storms, we're bound to know someone who is in the storm, as it were. So I've just thought of a few things that hopefully will just encourage you this morning. And the first thing is to ask God, what is he saying to us at this point in our lives? I remember a few years ago when I was doing my gap year in London, I was also working for a national trust, obviously, that I'm sure you all know of, called Anglesey Abbey. And I loved working there. I loved the people. I just really enjoyed it. And without Anglesey Abbey, I would have really struggled to fund my commuting back and forth into London. And I also that year experienced a thing called pneumothorax, which some of you may have heard of or could remember, which is when my, sounds more serious than it is, but the lung basically collapsed a little bit. There's a pocket of air. I can't really explain it that well. They say it's common in young, skinny men. So, hey, look at that. So that's what the doctors told me. And it was a kind of a bit of a weird time, really, because I was going through this, and it was a very busy time. And once that was over, Dad said to me, "George, have you ever prayed into kind of what happened, really?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, I think sometimes God does us to get our attention." I said, "You just pray into maybe why that kind of came about." I said, "Okay." So I prayed about it, he prayed about it, and I didn't really get anything, but he came back and said, "I think it's something to do with your Anglesey Abbey job. I think you need to pray about leaving." So we prayed about it, and behold, I was to leave. And it was a huge step of faith, because it was maybe at the end of my year, but actually it was a huge financial support, and I basically left. And I think there's sometimes when God can send us into the storms to get our attention. I love the quote that Mike Favacci says, "Sometimes Jesus deliberately leads us into the storms, not because he hates us, but because he longs for opportunities where we depend on him." We need to recognise what Jesus is doing. And please, I'm not condemning you in any way. If you're in a storm of your life, I'm not saying that you're in the wrong place of your life. Please don't kind of get that from what I'm saying. But just want to encourage you to ask and to pray about, God, where am I at in my life? Is there something you want to get my attention on? Is there something you're trying to speak to me about? And I always find when I've personally been in the storm, or I've known people in the storm, actually we become a lot closer to God in those times. And actually we can benefit from the storms, from when he sends us in. I find it really strange. I was kind of reading this passage. I was talking through my preacher of Jess the other day. And just reading out loud, I think if Jesus knew that he was going to send the disciples into the storm, why was he sleeping? I find that really strange. And I think he wanted to see how they would react to him. I think they wanted to see how they would depend on him. And so, number two, we need to prioritize Jesus in our lives. We need to make him number one focus in our lives. I remember I went away to Poland on a youth mission trip, and I was talking to Rohan, which I'm sure you all know, and he was talking to me about how you need to put God number first one in your life, above your girlfriend, above your wife, above your children, above the football team you support, above the puppy that you might have just got. You've got to put God number one, first of all, in your life. That's challenging, isn't it? Really challenging. And there's times where I know where I like to think God's first, and I think I take my eyes off the radar, and so I think, no, I need to put God first. They ran to him, and they said, "Teacher, help us." I love Proverbs 3:6. This is actually the Living Bible translation. "In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success." Soul Survivor did a campaign, as it were, in January. Jess and I went to the church just to kind of see, we hadn't been to the church before, and they had a thing for 3 weeks saying, "Pray first," and they had wristbands. We shared actually one night about it. And what they were encouraging the church to do was to pray first. Everything that you do, don't leave until last minute. Don't leave Jesus for the back burner, and don't say, "I'm going to try and do everything in my will first. I'm going to go for Jesus first." And I encourage you to do that, to be prioritised Jesus in our lives. We also need to call on the name of Jesus. We need to worship him in amongst the storms. My mum is an amazing lady, and she turned 60 in August. Okay, yeah, she won't mind, I have asked this, okay. I've got permission. And I was actually away for her birthday, and I was at Soul Survivor with Youth for Christ, and my brother was also away. And so I rang her up on her birthday, and I just wished her happy birthday. And she says, "I know we're meeting Saturday as a family, and what I'd love to do is for you to bring a verse that's either speaking to you at the moment, or a verse that has, I don't know, been really influential over the last few years." And everyone, we got there on the Saturday morning, and we were planning to go to Ickworth House, outside Bury St Edmunds, and the weather was kind of just grim. It wasn't a nice day, and you can see where I'm kind of heading with this. And we sat down in the lounge, and because the weather was bad, Dad said, "Okay, what we'll do is first, we'll do this first thing, we'll do this Bible verse, just share a Bible verse that's been on your heart." So we went around the circle, and we shared what God's been doing in our lives, and what he's speaking to us at the moment. And we get into the car, and it's sunshine. I said to Mum, "I think there's something in that. It sounds silly, doesn't it? But actually, I think there was something in the fact that we gave God glory, and actually it was a mix of grey, dark, and the sun shines. And when we worship him, when we call on his name, actually things change." And there's a kind of thing where when we're in the midst of the storm, we try and we maybe focus against pray against the storm, and that's, you know, that's not a bad thing to do. And actually, sometimes what we need to do is just worship him and say, "Jesus, I don't know why I'm in the storm at the moment, but praise your name, Jesus. Lord, we lift your name. Lord, we have no idea, but Lord, you are so worthy of our praise." And actually, just to worship Jesus, to call on his name, and things change. The storm around you calms down. Wendy's word, run to him. You know, like I said at the moment, we've got a puppy called Pickles, and she's 12 weeks old. She's a Cocker Spaniel, and she's great. She's just a bundle of joy. And one thing you should do with puppies is when she's in the crate and she cries, is that you shouldn't necessarily run to the crate, because it just gets them into a bad state, and they think they can do it all the time. And in the morning, about between half six or maybe 6:45, she starts crying because she needs a wee, and Jess runs out of the bed towards into the kitchen to let this puppy out for a wee. When we cry, Jesus is running towards us. He's running towards us. When we call on the name, when we worship him, he runs towards us. There's so much power in the name of Jesus, and when we use his name, things change. Satan hates it. We also need to know Jesus. At this point, the disciples didn't really know this guy. Who is this guy? He comes to the winds and the waves. Who is this guy? And we've got the privilege of knowing Jesus. And when we get to know Jesus every day, read into his word every day, we can see from his perspective, from his angle, and that huge benefits come from spending time with Jesus. When we get to know Jesus in the storm, things change. They calm and they still. We've got, or Jess has a niece, I guess she's my niece now, I guess, as well. And I'm just going to take a drink of water. My mouth's very dry. And it's Jess's older brother and his partners. And you probably know this story, but she was born July last year. And when she was born with a medium-sized hole in the heart. And it wasn't life-threatening, but very dangerous. And she had to go in for she was basically told that she'd have to go in for surgery. She was born earlier than what they were expecting. And when Jess heard this, she came up. You may remember this Sunday night last year. And she says, my niece is ill. Please pray. Please pray. And I remember the church prayed. And they were going to have surgery on this baby. And they did basically tests and exams and scans. And the hole in the heart shrunk. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And Jess said to her brother, yeah, that's God. That's Jesus. My church is praying for you, that little girl. And a year on, she had a kind of an annual kind of scan. And her mum said to Jess was around her house, and her mum said, oh, I spoke to Matt on the phone today, and Harper had a yearly scan, and the hole's completely gone. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And Jess goes, yeah, that's Jesus, that's God. And she goes, okay. Jesus is able. Amen. He's able to calm the storms in your life or the people around your lives. God has a really funny sense of humour. So I've been thinking about this for a long time and kind of mulling it over in my head. And I didn't tell Tim this. So me and Tim meet every week, and he says, oh, can you preach the 1st of October? I said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. I think, okay, it must be God what I'm thinking, that's great. And then this morning, I'm kind of prepping, just getting the final bits together, and Jess says, I think you should go and have a look at the windowsill. I'm like, Jess, I'm not looking at the windowsill. And Jess has this thing where she rearranges this windowsill. She gets a lot of joy from it. I don't quite get it, I'm honest. She arranges flowers and puts different picture frames there. And she, it must be a girl thing, I don't know. And I said, Jess, I'm not going to look at your windowsill. I'll do it after church. It's fine. And she goes, no, George, look at the windowsill. So I go into the kitchen, I look at the windowsill. I'm like, it hasn't changed. And what she has, I don't know if a lot of you probably have it, is those daily readers, those daily plans, and that flip over. And the title of today was, He Stills the Waves. Isn't that amazing? God is so, so good. Now when she says, look at the window, so I'll come more often. I'm actually finished. It was really short, I apologise. I thought it was going to go a lot longer than that. So, but sometimes actually saying just what you need to say is much better than going on for 30 minutes. I'm joking. I'm joking. For you. I'll get the sack tomorrow. So what do we do from here? Should we stand?